We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Welcome back to the Brew FO show. I am Ty. He is Dan.
Also true.
We are the Solid Verbal. I decided, you know, because it's sort of a holiday weekend, Dan, I was just going to let Mufasa's mane breathe here on the top.
Do you want me to teach
head.
You how to cut your own hair with this like B minus C plus look that I have doing it on
my own? I tried to do it and
it's not that hard.
Well, it's not that hard, but the fading on the side is the issue.
Oh, he needs a fade. Big boy needs a fade.
I don't need the fade fade. It doesn't need to be like, you know, Versace style. But I'm just saying like...
Right. Not a mean level.
It just can't look like I'm in the alt-right, okay? Which is what happened a little bit last time. And I wasn't very excited about that.
Yeah. No, there's a fine line. It's a literal fine line that you have to walk with your clippers. No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Welcome to the Brew FO. Welcome to Scott's. Welcome to Ty's. I don't know who I was thinking of was Scott. Who's Scott?
You have a friend,
Who was
Scott?
I just thinking? Was thinking of Larry Scott? I do have most people have friends named Scott. It's a common name. We have news. We have questions to answer. I specifically researched alcohol in space, the Brew FO. We are tying it to space. I don't know what the exact sounds or music might be, but we have tied it to the space theme. Lots of questions about, this is what I wanted. I wanted rivalry week. I wanted coaching status or who might replace that coach or rumors or something like that. I asked some people for hygiene questions. We got a couple good ones there.
Okay.
I wanted Thanksgiving. I just space. Anything that really floats people's proverbial boats is what I asked for and is what we have.
Here is the way this works. So typically we do our Brew and A show only for Patreon subscribers. There's still going to be a large chunk of this show that goes to only our Verballers on the Patreon community. So you can go to verballers.com if you want to learn more about that. But typically what we do is we show off our pint glasses, which I've got in front of me. And I think you've got the mug in front of you, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, right here. Ooh.
We typically show off the swag that you can get by joining the Verballerhood. And I have saved this Cape May IPA. I don't know if you can see
that on
the camera.
Oh, I think our good pal Nicole Auerbach spends a lot of time at Cape May, New Jersey, right?
Cape May, New Jersey, yeah. Oh, boy, that's sort of splattered everywhere, which is not
You're good.
Great for a non-visual medium, but maybe you can hear it, maybe you can't. I'm pouring it into
I heard it. Loud and clear.
Pouring it in a little ASMR here on the show. I'm pouring it in. And will enjoy this libation throughout the course of this episode and this video. Don't forget, again, verballers.com, solidverbal.com if you want more information on where you can subscribe if you're just finding us for the first time. Yep. And as you are listening this weekend, don't forget to check us out in telephone format. That is...
in telephone format.
I haven't started drinking yet, I swear. 408 verbal one, 408 verbal one, 408-837-2251. That is the Reverb line where you can dial in and let us know your thoughts, stream of consciousness, what's on your mind as you're watching all the college football action. We cut that together on Sunday. We put it into a segment we call the Reverbs, Dan.
Should we get into news and then get into eventual questions and space drinking and then extended brew FO for the very, very handsome and good looking Patreon verballers?
Let's do it. Here it is. We have breaking news. Boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop. Yeah, not so silly. Maybe the greatest college football coach of all time tested positive for COVID and, in his words, maybe has a runny nose symptoms-wise, but Nick Saban will not be coaching in the Iron Bowl. Of course, there was news about him testing positive before, but turns out that was a false positive before the Georgia game after he took very quickly three successive tests that came out negative, including one that was flown, I think, via private plane.
That's exactly right. Of course, because...
up to Huntsville?
Yep.
Yeah. Three and a half hour drive away from Tuscaloosa. So this was believed and sort of confirmed to be a positive test. So it'll be Steve Sarkisian overseeing the Alabama program in person in the lead up and during the Iron Bowl matchup against Auburn.
We wish Coach Saban well. It stinks for him that he won't be able to partake in the Iron Bowl. Iron Bowl being a legendary rivalry, obviously a lot of history. So wish him well, and hopefully we'll see him out there again sometime soon. Is it wrong of me to ask if this moved the point spread at all? Just out of curiosity. I'm not because I'm like trying to get an edge here, but I'm curious.
I hear if
that's something that occurred after this news broke, because Nick Saban is such a legend in the coaching ranks and does mean so much to his team. We'll have to check
that out. So this morning I saw it had moved up before the news to 25 from 23.5, and I'm now seeing it at 24.5. So
not really.
About half a point, nothing dramatic. No. It didn't fall at this time to 18.5 or something like that.
Okay, interesting. Well, it's a perfect segue then to talk about Alabama as the number one team in the college football playoff committee's first batch of rankings that was released on Tuesday evening. Not a great surprise who your top four is. It's Alabama 1, Notre Dame 2, Clemson 3, Ohio State 4. The remainder of the top 10 is as follows: Texas A&M, Florida, Cincinnati at 7, Northwestern at 8, Georgia at 9, Miami at 10, Oklahoma, for what it's worth, on the outside looking in right now at number 11. So,
yeah.
Any surprises? I'm not going to say in the top four because I don't think we're really surprised there, but any surprises in the top 10?
So I looked at it live recording Big Boy Bets this morning with Jeff Schwartz. I did not watch the show. I saw some quotes come across. So it's Gary Barta is the representative. Okay. That name has come across my eyes a number of times, but doesn't mean all that much to me. Who's Gary Barta, Ty? Okay. I'm looking it up right now. Gary Barta he's the athletic director of Iowa, Ty.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
So glad I now know that. That's such a difference maker. I saw him defending things like, well, BYU's signature win and the reason why they're number 14 was Boise State, but Boise State was basically without a starting quarterback and backup quarterback, something BYU is responsible for, we should point out.
Sure.
It's BYU's choice to play a third string quarterback in that matchup. And so BYU is at 14, which seems pretty low for an undefeated team. It's schedule notwithstanding. There are teams ahead of them that seem pretty flawed, but whatever. And Cincinnati at 7, I suppose, feels right. But Ty, I ask you this. Should we talk about these week one rankings from... I'll give you two options. Should we come at it from a reality-based position or a anything can happen. Here's what we think what needs to happen.
Well,
which one would you like to do?
Why not a little of both? Because I'm assuming that the reason you bring that up is because you want to talk about the Cincinnati Bearcats. And
I don't know, we can talk about Cincinnati, we can talk about BYU, we can talk about Georgia, Miami, Indiana, any number of these teams that are not worth having a conversation about.
Well, that's not fair to them to say they're not worth having a conversation about. But okay, within the context of the playoff, I understand that statement. Cincinnati at 7 is really interesting to me.
Yeah.
I will still believe it when I see it. To your point, if they make the playoff, I'll believe it when I see it, because I have seen far too many of these committee meetings where they find ways to discredit the Group of Five team.
Of course.
The fact remains that they would need a lot of help if they were to somehow worm their way into that top four. I don't believe it will happen, but what's interesting to me with regard to Cincinnati is that there is at least something of a logical pathway for them to get there.
How do you define logical?
I could invent a scenario in which the teams in front of them lose.
Okay, so you're thinking Florida loses something during the regular season in their last couple weeks. Just a shocker of an upset. That takes them out of it with two losses to you.
Correct.
Even though I think they still probably end up in the SEC championship game and could still win the SEC and could still therefore get in. But
I'm saying Florida loses the SEC championship game. All right, so they've got two losses.
In like dramatic fashion.
Well, maybe, maybe not, but they lose. Let's just say they lose. They've got two losses now. Texas A&M's the one school I haven't really worked out what would need to happen to them, but I'm assuming something would.
Well, they're not even making the, likely they're not making the SEC championship.
They're not making the SEC championship game. No, for sure. But I'm not sure how the committee would handle the Aggies if they just sort of win out, go 9-1, don't go to the SEC title game if they're still ranked in front of a Cincinnati that would, you know, go undefeated. But
they would have a win in that scenario in Florida that couldn't be matched likely by Cincinnati.
Right. Texas A&M's the fly in the ointment, but you could envision a scenario in which Clemson loses again to Notre Dame in the ACC championship.
I can picture a scenario in which Texas A&M loses.
Texas A&M could lose. Northwestern, I think, is certainly looking at a loss.
Northwestern's going to lose.
Square up against Ohio State. So there are losses in front of and around the Cincinnati Bearcats. It's probably all a moot point because they're going to find a way to not put them in the playoff, but I am going to stick to my guns and say what I've been saying all year. It's a weird year. If it were going to happen at all with a Group of Five team making the playoff, it would be 2020. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Everything has been comfortable outside of UCF for Cincinnati, right?
Correct.
In terms, like, it's been all double-digit wins, as far as I can tell. I'm looking right now. It should be a very comfortable win against Temple and then a challenging game against Tulsa. But I think the projected margin from SP Plus is about 14 points as of now. So I'm thinking Cincinnati needs to demolish everybody that they face from here on into the decision Sunday. And then Alabama needs to lose decisively to Florida, and it would help if they lost to Auburn as well. Notre Dame's going to need to lose decisively to Clemson to keep the possibility of two ACC teams not happening. Right. That, OK, Notre Dame beat Clemson with a backup quarterback and it was overtime at home. It's a very impressive win. But Clemson left no doubt with their own starting quarterback. That probably needs to happen to keep, both Notre Dame and Clemson from getting in. And Ohio State probably needs to lose as well.
Well,
I don't know who they lose to. We're not talking about the realm of possibility, really, because they probably had their biggest threat this past weekend and survived that. So it feels like a fairy tale. It feels like a fairy tale in which the teams not only have to lose, but probably have to lose multiple times and have to lose by 14 plus points. So we are at this point wasting our breath.
We're gonna work out the exact scenario. I'm gonna come up with my favorite scenario to get Cincinnati into.
Do you believe Cincinnati? More importantly, do you believe Cincinnati? And we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago. Do you believe Cincinnati is a competitive team with any of the teams that are in front of them? Do you think it's a back and forth game when they have their social network, Mark Zuckerberg, full attention? Do I have your full attention? All of those teams would have Cincinnati's full attention in a playoff semi or big, important neutral site game, whatever.
Competitive for four quarters or maybe just two? Because I could.
No.
I could
a competitive game, four quarters of competition where it's like, oh man, they gave them everything they could handle. We're lucky to walk away with a win.
They do have a good defense. I question the offense though. So okay. I just don't want to answer the question. I want to move on. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Don't ruin my dream.
Sitting on that fence.
Let's talk about what's going on in Pac-12 scheduling.
Yeah.
Utah is now going to play Washington. Did I see that correct?
Utah's playing Washington. Yeah. On Saturday, Utah ASU was canceled. Obviously, ASU has had a number of contact tracing, positive test issues, including Herm Edwards. So they don't have the numbers. We already know that the Apple Cup was called off because of Washington State's own lack of minimum numbers to play in that game. The Pac-12 has certain thresholds that teams need to meet to get on the field, and both Wazoo and Arizona State didn't. Obviously, we talked about, and there was a conversation around the possibility of BYU playing Washington. That now is obviously not happening. And so, yeah, we got Washington, Utah, a repeat of the worst Pac-12 championship we've ever seen. But nonetheless, we're hoping for an improved Utah team and have a competitive, game against Washington, who looks stronger in week two than they did in week one. So, yeah, those two teams are now playing on Saturday.
Playing on Saturday. Got it. Yeah. All right. That is all I think I have in the form of news.
Okay. I should also mention, so in the playoff rankings, Wisconsin at 2-1 is number 16 because Wisconsin, Minnesota is canceled, so they're now not eligible for playing in the postseason in the Big Ten anyway, because they're not going to meet the minimum number of games. This is going to be their third canceled game. Oregon at 3-0. I think that there was a mention of Oregon that they hadn't played enough games at three games. Oregon is not looking like a playoff caliber team right now, sneaking by UCLA. But I guess Ohio State's four games is far more impressive than Oregon's three, whatever those numbers mean. Okay, I think that's all I have for now. Nothing that doesn't involve the context of some of these questions.
So here's the deal. We put out a call for messages for questions, as we always do on a Friday, for our Brew and A segment. Again, most of the Brew and A's are featured on the Patreon for ballers.com.
Correct.
Today, though, we're going to peel back the curtain.
Yeah, we're going to peek around.
That's right.
Backstage.
And we're going to answer some of these questions. So you have a variety that were sent in, Dan. Where do you want to start?
Hokey Pokey, is Sark the next head coach at Alabama?
Now,
it'd be easy to say,
wow,
nah, but keep in mind, this is going to be the most difficult replacement job in modern college football history, likely, right? I mean, you have replacing Pete Carroll at USC and the run that they went on, replacing Urban Meyer at Florida after he wins two national championships and now replacing him at Ohio State, but nothing is on that same level,
right,
as replacing Nick Saban's current run. I think he's 13 years in, something like that, 13 or 14 years in from 07. So that it's an impossible job. I imagine Alabama is going to take some big swings, but
they go after Dabo, sense. Right?
I mean, that's been the long held.
Got to go after Dabo.
I assume those tires will be kicked on some level, officially, sure, unofficially, what have you. But there are NFL people. There are other big names in the college coaching world, both active and currently not coaching. But the thing is with Sark, okay, so he has head coaching experience at two different places. It was relatively impressive at Washington in bringing them to at least respectable. And then USC obviously didn't work out for a number of cultural and off-field issues related to Sark's drinking problem, which he has, by all accounts, gotten under control and had done really well with a fresh start at Alabama, first as an analyst, now as the offensive coordinator. It makes sense to me. I don't think he's necessarily set up to succeed, but if we're talking about somebody who is known as a good recruiter, who has engineered a really, really great offense these past couple years, I don't know if it's a holdover between two big hires, but I could see it in a weird way. I could see it.
Let me ask it differently.
I would also, by the way, throw in one of the, it should be mentioned, even though it's sort of a pariah of a situation, replacing Joe Pa at Penn State, kind of an impossible task for Bill O'Brien, which he actually succeeded with.
For sure. So, okay, let me phrase it differently. Okay. Of the available college coaches, I'm not going to go into the NFL because I don't care.
Okay.
Of the available college coaches, either a current coach or a former coach, how long is that list if you're Alabama of guys that you would reach out to? Because
probably from, 3 to 5.
From where I stand, it's Dabo Swinney, maybe Kirby Smart. I don't believe that that would happen, but maybe Kirby Smart, since he's got some familiarity there. Definitely Urban Meyer, because you have to make the call.
Right.
And but who else?
It's a good question.
Who else would you realistically offer that job to? If not,
I mean, if you're Alabama, you're thinking this is the biggest and best job of all time. So there's no rock you don't turn over. So it's like Ryan Day, you know, it's names like that. I don't know. I don't think there's anybody else. I'm trying to think across. I mean, like, is Luke Fickell too small coming from a G5? Probably, even though he has gotten attention for huge jobs.
I mean, I think that job is big enough that you look to poach the best available coach.
Matt Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about going small. It's about finding the best guy for the job, because Alabama, presumably at that point, whenever it happens, will
Mario
be set
Cristobal
up for success.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Mario Cristobal, I think, is a name. Another situation.
No, absolutely it does.
Ducks.
I mean, just because the familiarity, it's, you know, I think he would recognize the difficult task ahead. But that's a dude who understands infrastructure, has hired assistants really well, obviously recruits on a gangbusters type level, considering where Eugene is and isn't. I think those are the limited college names, but the grooming of Sark, just because of the familiarity and just because of the smooth nature of what that transition could look like.
Okay.
I think it would have support, not huge support. I think there would be factions where, like, I get it. Not necessarily like I'm enthused, home run, big explosions, but I don't know. I could talk myself into that making sense, not talk myself into being excited.
All right. Where are we going next?
I guess let's stick with the theme, though, because we're getting into that season. If Penn State fired James Franklin, and this is from JT, parenthetically, they won't. I think his buyout's something ridiculous.
Right.
Who does Penn State look to?
Probably Joe Moorhead.
Okay. So for similar reasons of the Mario Cristobal to Bama.
Yeah, I think Joe Moorhead would be an interesting name. He would probably
really struggled in that role at a smaller place.
He did. There's more familiarity with him in the Northeast. So I think Jomo would be an easy call.
Mm-hmm.
As for some others in the area who might be interested, that's a really good question.
Well, like, let's think up and down, I guess, the ACC, who's succeeding, who looks promising. Somebody like Jeff Hafley, it seems too soon, even though I think we believe his trajectory to be pretty interesting. Maybe somebody, Neil Brown at West Virginia. There's nothing exactly geographically sensical, because Penn State is secretly kind of in the middle of nowhere within the state of Pennsylvania, to me. Maybe I'm wrong, Ty.
Right.
But up and down the ACC, I mean, if Virginia Tech were better, we could talk about Fuente, but there are conversations about Fuente not being long for Blacksburg.
Right.
What about somebody like Bronco Mendenhall?
No. The answer is Joe Moorhead.
Satterfield.
I think it's Joe Moorhead. I think Joe Moorhead would be the first call they make.
Moorhead is the first call. He's a Pittsburgh dude.
I think he's the first call they make.
Clark Lee?
It's too big for Clark Lee.
Too big for Clark Lee, who had interest from smaller level Power 5 jobs.
I think it's too big. He's done a terrific job.
Yeah.
And at some point soon, we'll be a head coach. But no, I think I need more opportunity to think through all the names. But the one that comes to mind is Joe Moorhead. There's still a bit of romanticism with regard to what he did with Trace McSorley and how he ran that offense.
Saquon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Saquon. So I'm thinking that he's probably the first call.
Interesting. Okay. I don't know who's, I don't know if you have to have a PA guy. It doesn't necessarily need to be the case. I mean, it almost never works out that way, but I'm trying to think of guys who have specific connections to Pennsylvania or Penn State or the upper Big Ten. You don't see a lot of inter Big Ten movement, you know, I don't know, Matt Campbell from the Big 12, Penn State.
I mean, I think everyone's going to be interested in Matt Campbell. If he's interested.
Sure.
Luke Fickell could be an interesting name.
Would Luke Fickell take Penn State?
Luke Fickell's an interesting name as a sort of a defense first minded sure. guy. You know, that thought crossed my mind as well, but I think it's Joe Moorhead. I think he's the guy until proven otherwise.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I mean, good recruiter, well liked. I think he's really well liked in Starkville by the people who like he came across. It just didn't work out within that program.
Yeah.
Let's go next. Gary, should canceled rivalry games be scheduled instead of some bowl games or just tacked on somewhere? Or is that expecting too much from the 2020 season?
It is, yes, expecting too much, but I love the idea.
I think it's fantastic.
I love that idea, Gary. I would much rather see, and I'm sure most fan bases are like-minded, mm-hmm. I would much rather see a rivalry game, especially in a goofy year where the bowls are going to mean even less than usual. Let's play that rivalry game, man. Let's play at neutral site. Let's play it at home site, wherever you can play it. If it's canceled, I'm down with that. That means more to the students. It means more to the fan bases.
So, yeah, I saw somebody, I think, also asked us about the Apple Cup, rescheduling the Apple Cup. Yeah, JR707, should the Pac-12 make some attempt to reschedule the Apple Cup? Obviously, the Pac-12 did not schedule in that sort of flexibility that that a couple other conferences actually scheduled into there with like the double bye because the Pac-12 wanted to finish up by the time the playoff was announced because I don't know why. I honestly don't know why. Yes, they should. And I believe I looked this up. So we have the Holiday Bowl canceled. The Red Box Bowl is canceled. And also, I don't think Levi Stadium renewed the lease for the Red Box Bowl. And the Vegas Bowl is either up in the air or not. An announcement hasn't been made yet. So in terms of Pac-12 bowls anyway, and with the cancellations we've already seen, I think you just find a way to play one of these games or even two of these games that have been canceled in some of these cases. I mean, you just do it.
I'm down with that, right? Man. I am totally
down with
that.
I don't know from an operations standpoint how difficult that is to just sort of spin up a matchup, but to say, okay, should we have a quote-unquote Holiday Bowl with Washington State or Washington and Iowa? Or Northwestern or any of these schools, or we have the Apple Cup. You're not getting out of that contract, most likely. My preference is Apple Cup. It's going to be snowy wherever this game is being played. More likely it'll be snowy in Pullman than Seattle. But yeah, I don't know. This feels like a year to just keep it cozy, keep it regional.
Keep it cozy, keep it regional. Caleb, speaking of which, says, will this be the worst or best Egg Bowl that we have seen?
The best. It will be the best Egg
Why?
Bowl.
Why?
Because, I don't know. I like taking overs. The Ole Miss offense is explosive and the Ole Miss defense is explosive. And the Mississippi State defense has become pretty strong and the offense has mostly been terrible. But the combination of Leach and Kiffin and 2020 and... my desire for chaos, my desire for something unexpected leads me to believe that it's just going to get very strange. It's not on Thanksgiving this year.
No.
So my gut tells me that there's something fishy is going to happen. That's what I say.
I love the Egg Bowl. First off, it's got the best name of pretty much any rivalry.
Yeah.
And it's always a fun clash. 10.5 or 10 points, I think, was
the
point spread.
Such a basic name, the Egg Bowl. That's the best name to you?
It's a great name.
Farmageddon?
Great name. Love the Egg Bowl.
Okay.
Love the Egg Bowl. It's simple. That's I'm not saying there aren't other good ones, but for me, Egg Bowl is where it's at. This year in particular, I think it's, I don't know if it's the best or the worst, but I think it's the most interesting that I can remember. If only because we've got two new coaches. We've obviously got a great offense on the Ole Miss side, not so much on the defensive side. And to our point from the last couple shows, the Mississippi State defense has been improving. And we know that Mike Leach is trying to install a new system and seeing different quarterbacks, different names kind of be cycled into the proceedings there. So for me, I'm actually very curious to see how they rank relative to one another.
2014 gave us number 4 Mississippi State losing by 2 touchdowns to number 19 Ole Miss. That's hard to beat. That 2014 season when both Ole Miss and Mississippi State were in that playoff conversation into the season. That's Dr. Bo. That's Dak. I don't think we have the household names this year. Maybe that doesn't make it interesting. It's just more competitive.
We don't have, from
a football perspective.
We don't have players who are household names, but right. We certainly have coaches who are.
Do you hear a vacuum, by the way, 12 feet away from me?
I don't hear a vacuum, but this is around the time where the lawnmower rolls up to your house.
Yeah, absolutely it is. If there were an 8-team college football playoff of Thanksgiving sides, who would be included and who would win?
Thanksgiving sides.
Side dishes. So,
okay.
I don't think we should rank them from best to worst, 1 through 8. But
okay.
Most famous, well-known, common, number 1 through lesser.
So fame. this is a trending topics ranking,
yes.
And not a personal preference rankings.
Right. So the number 1 side to me, purely in regards to how common and well-known it is as a side, is mashed potatoes.
I would agree with that. So I'm Googling Thanksgiving side.
Yeah, let's pull it up.
And the first list that we get. Okay, so we're going, this is popular on the web. Popular on the web. Do we just want to go with this?
Sure.
I don't know if these are popular on the web. This is not the ranking that I would have guessed. Mm-hmm. But number 1 here, they have sweet potatoes.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, that's just what comes up first.
It's just what comes up. This is Google. It's an authority
on
all things Thanksgiving.
Okay.
We've got in here, if I'm counting out the top 8, here's what they have for their top 8.
Mm-hmm.
They have sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, cornbread, mashed potatoes, roasted sweet potatoes, carrots, and stuffing. So why don't we do this? Since there's 2 sweet potatoes in there, we're going to replace one of them with sweet corn, and we're going to replace green bean casserole with cranberry sauce.
Okay. Where's stuffing? Stuffing is, it has to be a top 8.
Stuffing's in there. Stuffing's in
there. Okay. Stuffing / dressing, depending on what you call it and how you prepare it.
So here's what we got. We've got sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, sweet corn, cornbread, mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce, carrots, and stuffing.
Okay.
That's our top 8.
Dinner rolls? Is that in there?
Dinner rolls is not in here.
Google is wrong. Let's not let anybody else dictate.
Would you count rolls as a side dish?
Yeah. Is it on the side of your turkey on your dish?
You want to replace dinner rolls? Put dinner rolls in place of Brussels sprouts? I can go with that.
Sure.
All right. So there we go.
Green bean casserole feels like we're talking same phylum as Brussels sprouts.
Correct. So here,
hot and green.
I'm jotting these down right now so that we can do our official ranking system here.
Let's
so
do this.
First matchup is going to be sweet potatoes versus dinner rolls.
So this is me now saying which is more crucial, which is tastier.
Correct. That's correct.
Sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes. All right.
Yep.
So next we've got sweet corn versus cornbread. Nice little corn matchup, sort of like Iowa State.
Cornbread.
Cornbread, really?
Yeah. Cornbread offers me better texture. It offers me a crust. It offers me a chance to maybe throw in a jalapeno quotient. I think cornbread is my answer. I think it feels more autumnal than sweet corn.
Autumnal. There's that word again.
Yes, sir.
There's that word again.
I love that word.
Next, we've got mashed potatoes versus cranberry sauce.
Mashed potatoes, especially with my crispity, crunchity potato chip topping. Yeah.
I'm inclined to go cranberry sauce. It has to be the kind out of a can, though.
Straight out of the can. Still wobbling.
Yeah.
Cylindrical cranberry sauce.
Just the way nature made it. And then finally, carrots versus stuffing.
I want to really emphasize that we did not choose these eight.
This is Google. It's all Google.
I know. It's all Google. Carrots versus stuffing slash dressing. I'm going to say stuffing slash dressing.
You got to go stuffing. All right. So that means that our next matchup would be sweet potatoes versus cornbread.
Sweet potatoes.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And then the...
Do you prefer your sweet potatoes in mashed slash whipped form, chunk form? What is disc form? Like a baked potato, like baked whole form?
I prefer them with like little chunks in it. You know,
okay.
Like not
so
fully
like
whipped.
A cut up roasted. Yeah. Okay. I think I'm with you. Okay. Tossed.
Then our other semifinal would be mashed potatoes versus stuffing.
Stuffing slash dressing.
You got to go stuffing. And then stuffing against sweet
potatoes. More flavor, more texture. It's just, there are more notes to it that really gets me going.
Stuffing versus sweet potatoes. I think, again, it's got to be stuffing.
I think it's stuffing slash dressing.
Yeah. It'll be stuffing.
Because also, you can work cornbread into stuffing. You can work various elements into stuffing and just spread the flavor around. I think that's obvious.
Who asked this question?
Did you say, I think it's Matt, if I remember correctly.
I hope he's getting what he bargained for here.
Matt Hines, yes. Which group of five sides have a chance of upsetting a blue blood dish? Okay, I don't know what this means, so I'm going to translate it to what I think it means.
Okay.
Give me an off-the-wall side that you either imagine could work at a Thanksgiving table or that you've had at Thanksgiving where you're like, make it part of your dance.
I think it's a pineapple stuffing before.
Okay. That's an interesting...
It's really good.
Interesting zag.
Really, really good. So that would be my nominee.
So it's adding a sweet, acidic note to your stuffing or dressing.
Really, really good.
Barbecue pork fried rice. Barbecue pork fried rice has a lot of actual like similar flavors as like your typical Thanksgiving, right? It has vegetables in it. Rice is pretty common there. You have a roast protein right there chopped up in there. Soy sauce has that umami salty element that's spread across a lot of side dishes and main dishes with Thanksgiving. I'm going to say barbecue pork fried rice. I've long talked about the Chinese Thanksgiving that the Rubensteins have been a part of. So I think you go out, you can make it yourself. You grab a wok and do it ahead of time and just heat it up. I think that's an interesting move, Ty. I mean, I talk about broccoli casserole, but that feels like we're not zagging too much. It's very similar to green bean casserole.
Do you have a wok?
I don't. No.
Do you want a wok?
I actually do make fried rice every so often, and I know you can make a ton in a wok. You can make everything you want in a wok.
Right.
I've never really I haven't had that itch. Do you have a wok?
I don't either. No.
Is there something specific that you would say to yourself, you know, if I had a wok, I would learn to or make this more often. Like, are you like learning to make Thai food more often? Chinese food? Like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
I've thought about getting a wok to make stir fry.
Sure.
I have nowhere to put the wok. That's the problem. You know, that's quite a commitment, right? Where do you put that?
I guess.
So okay. That's been the hang up for me.
Polly wants to know, if Clemson beats Notre Dame in the ACC championship, do both teams go to the playoff? Walk me through, pull up the rankings, Ty, back to the playoff.
I got him.
We are a playoff forward show, if nothing else.
Yeah, I don't think both are making it, to be honest with you. I don't think both are making it. Now,
the idea of watching that matchup a third time.
Yeah, that's too much. But here's the thing. So the first one went to overtime.
Yep.
First one went to overtime. It was a close loss. We've talked about it time and again on this show. If you're going to lose to a top team, lose close. If it goes to overtime.
On the road. Yeah.
On the road.
With a backup quarterback.
With a backup quarterback. So Clemson has a very, I think, powerful case to remain in contention here. And if they win, if they beat Notre Dame in that ACC game, all things being equal, no one loses between now and then, I think Clemson would go and Notre Dame would go to some other high-profile bowl matchup.
Yeah, that's a bigger stage. It's more important to win the ACC championship game than it is to win in October in South Bend.
So I think I can't envision a scenario in which both make it. Not if Clemson wins close the second game, not if Notre Dame wins close. I believe they are two of the four best teams in the country, legitimately, whether or not they're in the playoff or not. I just don't see both of them making it. The bigger question here, let me ask you this.
Well, my answer is just no.
Yeah, the answer is no.
Yeah.
We're under the assumption that I guess Alabama wins the SEC championship. Florida looks pretty good, but Florida's got issues on defense.
Yep.
So Alabama's through.
Shout out Ken Seals Isuzu. Continue.
We're under the assumption that Ohio State's going to roll their way through the Big Ten championship game, correct?
I think so.
Okay, so that's two of the four. We're both of the assumption that it's going to be either Notre Dame or Clemson, right?
I believe so. Yep.
Who gets that four spot? Who gets the four spot? Because the Pac-12 is treading on thin ice at the moment. There are games getting canceled left and right. And even if Oregon is able to play all of its games, you know, we talked about Oregon as being a pretty good team, but maybe not great enough to be in that top four.
Mm-hmm.
Would they get a nod? Who would legitimately be that fourth team? Oklahoma's got two losses. They might win the Big 12.
If Oklahoma shells what West Virginia is not currently ranked, but let's say Texas blows out Iowa State, moves into like the top 12 somewhere in there, right?
Right.
At 6-2, and then Oklahoma again beats Texas. Obviously, it was close in an overtime the first time, but Oklahoma beats Texas by 21. So a two-loss Oklahoma Big 12 champion, 9-1 Texas A&M not playing in the championship game. I think A&M probably gets in if they look really impressive finishing out their schedule, which they probably will.
Right.
Like at that point, you're saying, okay, is it two lost Florida who won the East but lost comfortably to Alabama, let's say, or an A&M team who didn't win their division? Obviously, we've seen the precedent of a team not winning their division and getting into the playoff.
The issue with that then is if you assume, again, that all of what we're saying here comes to fruition, if you put A&M in, they're probably going to play Alabama in the first round.
Right. That's exactly right.
A rematch of that blowout from week two of the SEC schedule. So it's just interesting to me. It's obviously it's a far cry from a normal season for many, many reasons. But as we look at the way that this all shakes out, and I know you're going to say, the Cincinnati thing's a fairy tale. And I don't disagree with you, by the way. I'm just saying if it were going to happen, this would be the scenario in which it would, where we've got teams playing different numbers of games. You know, like Wisconsin, right? Wisconsin's in a very awkward spot right now where they're not playing again this week. How many games are they going to finish with? Are they even going to be eligible to move on?
Well, they're not playing in the Big Ten championship game, so it doesn't really matter at this point,
It doesn't matter at this point, but you get my point here, right? With these schedules kind of constantly being uncertain, if it were going to happen for a Group of Five school, this would sort of be the year where one could sneak in. Just saying.
Would you take a Florida team that acquits itself really well against Alabama and loses 33-30, or Texas A&M who lost to Alabama by whatever it was, 28 points?
Yeah.
But with only one loss.
I would probably be inclined to go with the team that lost close to Alabama because that A&M game was not close.
Right.
Earlier in the year.
I think I'm on the same page with you there. Yeah, So I don't want Notre Dame, but if Notre Dame loses really close, they lose 30-28 to Clemson. And then the toss-up is between Notre Dame and a Florida team that gets destroyed by Alabama and an A&M team that goes 9-1, but not necessarily impressively or something like that.
Right.
Then what is the solution there? Like, are you just sort of backed into a Notre Dame corner?
I guess. I think you almost are in that scenario. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch Pac-12 football and just enjoy it. That's all I'm saying.
Should we do one more question for the general public before we kick it over to our verballerhood?
I would love to. Okay. Because this is technically the BrewFO tie.
Yes.
Can anyone identify any constellations aside from Orion, which everyone can find because of the belt? How good are you, Ty, at looking up at the sky and saying, aha, Little Dipper. Aha, Sirius.
I think.
How good are you?
I think Sirius is actually, I wish I would have seen
this
question.
Right?
Yeah, I wish I would have seen this question because I would have looked it up and cheated.
Right. Canis Major is Sirius.
Yeah, I think Canis Major is close to Orion's belt.
Canis.
And
but like, if you're out in, I don't know, how is it? By the way, how's your light pollution where you are? Like, if you
not
go
bad.
Outside at midnight,
yeah,
you can get a good vantage point.
It's I'm not in the middle of nowhere, but I'm not in the middle of nowhere where I'm at.
Right.
So I have a pretty good view of the night sky.
Okay. So will you take a second and sort of admire and look for things? Like, will you go out with your phone and say, okay,
oh yeah,
this is where that says I should look to look at this.
Oh, fire up night sky, point it up in the heavens. Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I never do, but I've, for the last, I guess, my entire life. I mean, I've gone on vacation. I've been places without light pollution, and Eugene's not horrible in terms of that, but no, it's really only rare nights in California for me, or if I'm away somewhere. That's when I've been able to look up at the sky and admire it, but no, I'm no good. I don't think we are as constellation forward a society as we should be, Ty.
Right, of course.
This is the flag I'm planting right now.
Yeah, I mean, I know some of the stars in the area. I know Betelgeuse, Bellatrix, Rigel, Safe, Sirius. Like, I know, generally speaking, some of the stars kind of in the so-called big G, but I'm not up to speed on my constellation, so that's a good question.
Okay, fair enough. Have you looked through a telescope of any sort of significant magnitude before?
Significant magnitude?
Not like upper level. I'm not talking about elite, Ty. I'm talking like a Wake Forest level.
Dave Clawson's binoculars is what we're talking about.
A Dave Clawson level telescope. Respectable,
no,
underrated.
I haven't. I've been in a planetarium.
I have on a field trip.
Have you been in a planetarium?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to an observatory. I've been to a planetarium. Yeah, Ty, you name it.
Yeah.
I've been to some places. It's crazy. I remember looking through a significant telescope. It's pretty wild. Seeing planets.
That's awesome.
You can see them, Ty. Final thought here, because this is a space theme show that everybody does have access to. Do you know why astronauts are banned from drinking in outer space? Do you have guesses? Do you already know? Do you disagree?
Well,
astronauts are largely banned, although there have been some exceptions and issues.
I mean, my assumption is just that you're dealing with billions of dollars worth of equipment, and
that's part of it.
It wouldn't be good to be under the influence. I believe, if memory serves, that there used to be a myth that you would get drunk quicker in space.
Right. They actually did a test with this. Continue.
And I believe, if memory serves, that that was proven to be a falsehood, that that's not exactly the case.
Yeah. Cognitive tests were given both in normal circumstances, sort of problem solving and doing quick math in your head. And then it was simulated, I think, in a room that simulated being like 40,000, 80,000, whatever, and on different levels of altitude.
What's the real reason?
It is the equipment thing.
Okay.
It is also an ability to sort of be at your best kind of thing. Like, you have to be performing, like, if you're not even just drunk, like, it's unclear that when you're with less gravity and drinking affects your stomach. I saw the term, I think, soggy burps.
Oh, just no. Oh, no.
Soggy toots, where it's just it's the slosh factor is so much higher because we don't fully know what happens with, like, the digestive system and everything like that and how everything soggy is toots. Metabolized. Soggy toots, soggy
I'm not
burps.
Google that. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
There have been instances in which astronauts have been reported for being very, very drunk prior to liftoff. I know one of which the liftoff was postponed. There is a story. I think it's confirmed. I think it was a first person telling. I think Buzz Aldrin said he took a little sip of wine as communion before landing on the moon, in between gaps of communique between spacecraft and base command.
I mean, at that point, if you're on the moon, you might as well. what are they going to do to you, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And also the fear of, like, a spilling harming the instruments, like the ants on the Simpsons episode. Was clogging them.
All right.
So I didn't know. I figured that, like, they've done some tests. There have been whiskey companies that have tested the distillation process of whiskey in space. And apparently it doesn't speed up the distillation. Like, they test how quickly something gets mellow inside, like, the charred wooden whatever, barrels. But it apparently intensifies the flavor distilling in space.
Really?
Yeah. There was a Japanese whiskey company that sent whiskey, Suntory, I think that's what it is, that sent whiskey up to the International Space Station.
Wow.
Also, apparently, there's a bit of a disconnect between NASA and their counterparts in Russia, and the ISS having a dry code apparently upset some cosmonauts because they were like, yeah, it's just vodka, guys.
Yeah.
That was apparently a thing when the ISS, the International Space Station, was coming together. So do you have a number where space tourism hits this affordability price point? Were you saying?
I hate flying. That's the problem with me. I hate flying.
Like, flying to Minneapolis is not as exciting as flying way up.
I would have to think about that. I would have to think about that. But
do you have,
for as much as I like outer space,
right,
I don't necessarily have a desire to go to outer space.
If somebody was underwriting your voyage,
right,
if it were like 50K,
like Jeff Bezos comes to me and says,
I'm a certified verballer, not premium. I don't have that kind of
right.
Coin.
He's the benefactor level that we've
right.
teased
benefactor
out.
Level. Bezos says, big fan of you, Eastern PA, the Yakko's references, your poofy hair.
Mm-hmm.
Let me underwrite this 50K. To send you into shallow orbit. Are you taking Bezos up on it?
I mean, I get to go to space. I would almost have to.
Space!
Don't you think I would almost have to? You would have
Absolutely.
To. You would do it.
I think so.
You would almost have to do it.
I do have a kid.
Yeah, well, that's
but
true.
I can't imagine the threat if Bezos is on board.
If you got
like
Bezos
literally, if
on
Bezos
board.
Is traveling with me. I think you got to do it.
Maybe you could barter some sort of agreement that, like, you're not totally on board with it if he'll throw you a few shekels or, at a minimum, sign some shekels over to Jody with an I should anything happen to you.
Right. Sure.
Then I think you got it. It's not even a second thought.
I think you have to do it. I think no matter what, if somebody's underwriting you to go to friggin' space, Ty.
You have to.
I think you
to do
just
it.
You have stories for the rest of your life.
Right.
It's a one. It's a literal once in a lifetime opportunity, and I think life's just about saying yes. Right.
In that case, I think it's. I think you would have to. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
This is a journey. This is quite a journey on this show. So listen.
Oh man. We're going to keep going. We got a bunch more questions for the premium and certified Verballers, but
we do. If you are interested in learning more about that, go to verballers.com. Don't forget, we have games this weekend. Mm-hmm. I joked about the telephone format of the verbal earlier, but it's 408 verbal one. That's the reverb line if you want to dial in and leave us a message. Don't forget, if you are out and about, college football blitz put on by our good friends over at Learfield IMG College. That's where you can find 56 minutes per hour of real local play-by-play coverage. They're on all day. I don't even know for how many hours they do this show, but it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I use it pretty much without exception every week to stay up to date with what's going on, to really get that local flavor. Mm-hmm. Channel 84 on your Sirius XM dial, or you go to TuneIn and look for College Sports Now to get the college football blitz there as well.
All right. Fair enough. I think it's a hell of an idea.
Daniel, enjoy the rest of your rivalry weekend. I understand most folks are listening to this on the flip side of Thanksgiving, but wherever this podcast may find you, we hope you're safe. We hope you're healthy. Hope you're happy. Hope you're enjoying whatever it is you're doing this weekend. Thanks so much for downloading the show, for making us part of your holiday. We will talk to you on Sunday and Monday when we recap all that was in week 13. For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, raise your glass, raise whatever you got in front of you.
Woo!
We'll talk to you all soon.
Peace, unless...